All right, church. Well, good morning. As we get our lights going and get situated. And I'm thankful to be here. Who else is thankful to be here today? All right. Those of you who didn't raise your hands, we will make sure you're thankful by the end of today. No, really, that's the title of the message. If you haven't noticed, I'm not Pastor Paul. And if you're having a hard time recognizing that, well, let's talk afterwards. We are so thankful that you're here, but I wanted to extend to you a greeting from the Harmons. They are in England right now visiting with our missionaries there, Jonathan and Sarah Griffiths. If you haven't gotten to know them, we are going to be talking more about them when the Harmons come back. I just wanted to extend to you the greeting. They are very happy there, but they sure do miss you. They miss being here with you, and they cannot wait to be back, but the work that is being done over there is wonderful. I just want to let you know that missionary unit is doing great work over there. They're just doing wonderful work and reaching people that cannot be reached for Christ. And so isn't that amazing? In England, I know, in England, you'd think all will be saved, but no, there's a lot who are not. And there's a lot of people that go to churches that are not believers. And so there's a lot of great work done. And so if you're looking for more missionaries to be praying for, Griffiths, that is one of the missionary units. Wanted to let you know that I am given the opportunity to give a tiny missions report since this is the second Sunday of the month. Our missionary director is not here. He actually just came back from a trip up to Santa Rosa. Santa Rosa, yes, Santa Rosa, and that's where the fires took place. This man has been going without a break, and so we thought we can give him a weekend off for once. He said that everything over there was just, it was something new. It was something very different because of all the devastation that took place. We saw pictures of just metal that was melted onto the ground, car rims and engine blocks and everything that was just burnt down. Everything was melted to the ground. People lost everything they had. And so it was a very, very intense place to be, but they were able to share the gospel there. Praise the Lord. But I was given a tiny missions report to give you, and that is this. If you look inside your bulletin, our year-to-date missions giving total is $109,827.43. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, that this is exciting stuff, knowing that this money is going towards our missionaries on the missions field. This is money that is going towards our people across the street. Our missions units are taken care of, and it's all thanks to your generosity. Before I go into the message, I want to give honor where honor is due. And so, as you know, yesterday was Veterans Day, and I want to invite any person that is a veteran that have served in our military units to please stand up so that we can give you a recognition for your service. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you very much for your service. And if you haven't been told yet, you are a world changer for your service, for your commitment. Even if you feel like in your time you couldn't get something done, you have started something. So you are a world changer. Thank you for your service. Awesome. So for those of you who don't know me yet, let's get to know me a little more. I like to talk about myself. I like to talk about Jesus more than I talk about myself. But I can tell you a little bit about me. My name is Andre, and I have been coming to Hope Chapel since 2011. I've been on staff here since 2015, and I get to be the administrator and the college pastor here. I have an awesome college group that I get to be pastoring along with my wife. We love our college group. We love being pastors for them. We love what we do. They tell me that they don't like being put in the spotlight, so I won't point them out. But one thing that you gotta know about us is, if you don't already know, my wife and I are expecting our first, and he's about 6.5 weeks away. So thank you, appreciate it. So enjoy me for the next 6.5 weeks, because I hear after that it just really goes south. So Let's talk now before later. Yeah, I get no sleep after that. Anyways, that is tiny bit about me. If you want to get to know me more, I will talk your ear off about sports, but not right now. This is not the right platform to do so. Let's get into the word, right? Let's do this. Before we do, let's pray. We need this. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for today, and we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you will be speaking to us. And Lord, that your word will never fall to the ground. That your word will become plentiful for us. That you will do great things. And we thank you for this reminder. We thank you for this new information that we're getting to learn about. Thank you, Lord, that you will do something wonderful with your words today in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Bibles. Who's got their Bibles with them? Let me see them. Put them up. Let's put them up. All right. So those who didn't raise hands, ushers, let's put Bibles in their hands because it's a Bible-driven message today. Isn't that a good thing? It's always good when a message is Bible-driven and not person-driven. So hopefully all of you have realized the month that we're in. And know the season that we're approaching, and, you know, the leaves start changing now. Not on palm trees, but, you know, regular trees. So one out of six start changing color, right? Things start getting a little bit chilly in the air, right? We go from 90s to, like, 70s. But if it goes anywhere under 70s, it's we can't do that, right? Come on, Californians. We know how to not deal with cold, right? And then music starts changing, right? Some tunes start playing that are out of season. You know, I won't get into that debate, but I say that we shouldn't start it till day after Thanksgiving. That doesn't mean that the world agrees with me, but that's just my idea. So I'm not gonna get into that debate because I don't know how to end it. One thing I always noticed when I used to work my job before Hope Chapel, and I don't want to really throw out their name, even though I did last service, but I won't throw them out this time. I used to work in retail, and I used to be a manager at my store, and I noticed something that every year, around October 15th, that's when little tiny displays of Christmas would go up. And I would be asking myself, man, what are we doing? I know we're trying to get retail, we're trying to get money, we're trying to start advertising things, but Christmas on October 15th, you know, we're not even done selling our costumes yet, and we haven't even gotten our Thanksgiving stuff out, but Christmas is going up. And then the week after that, some Christmas songs would like sneak in out of nowhere, and it's like, whoa, that's why? Why are we doing this? And I used to be so sad. I used to be just like confused on why that happened. And I understand that retail needs to be retail and people need to make their money and all this and that. And I know how the retail market works. But October 15th is when Christmas would start going out. And that's when my heart would just start sinking because I was so sad that the world, the secular world, was truly skipping over so much and has taken the holy out of holidays. And it was no longer a holy day. Things just became a holiday. As you all know, holidays come with, you know, the Hallmark balloons and the Hallmark cards and the Hallmark beanie babies and the Hallmark this and that. I don't know if you notice any repetition, but I feel like society has taken over holidays and made them into something that is just for money. And that made me very sad. And you might be asking yourself, well, how is this relating to a message? Well, let's wait and see. Hopefully it does. Today, I really want to talk about the importance of focusing in on this season of festivities. And that is this. We are about to reach a season of Thanksgiving. And I know that's when we start planning everything. We start planning our dinners. We start planning our parties. we start planning who's invited and who's not invited and who we're going to make sure to talk to only for 30 seconds, because if we talk to them any longer, it's bad news. Right? Yeah. All those of you left, you're guilty. Just kidding. I'm not pointing out people. One of my favorite things that I like to ask people, especially during this season, I call it the stress season, because we need to buy gifts, we need to prepare this, we need to cook that, and we need to have all this money and whatnot, is how are you doing? Right? It's a very simple question. We hear that question all the time. I'm sure we all hear, especially at church, we hear at least 30 times, how you doing? Yeah, I'm doing fine. How many times have you heard that answer today? Right? Multiple times. Especially after my message, people learned that too. And that's what I'm saying not to do. A lot of times when we hear that question, how are you doing? We have two decisions to make, right? We have two options. One is to actually tell people how we're doing and commit to a 15 to 20 minute conversation that may not lead us anywhere. Or we can give them a simple answer of, I'm fine, and move on, right? My college students love not answering that question for me. Of course, when they come in on Sunday nights, they're fatigued, or some of them are just, you know, only running on coffee and that's it, so they're just like that. And I love it because I get to see them, hey, how you doing? I'm fine. Because they know if they answer that question, they'll have to answer more questions. And not only that, their peers are gonna then ask them questions. And so they're gonna have to explain themselves. They're gonna have to talk about their day, and they're gonna have to talk about the season of life they're in. They're gonna have to talk about how they're tired, so and so. And so instead of really answering me, their pastor, they just say, yeah, I'm fine. I'm gonna go grab some coffee. Okay, cool. You go ahead and grab that coffee. There is a way for us to answer that question. And that way is super cool because it's a biblical way of kind of talking to people. When we get asked, how are you doing? Sometimes our mind goes automatically to the negative because that seems to be where our emotions are. We're kind of overdone, kind of like fed up with all the bad that's happening in life. So when somebody asks, how are you doing? Oh, I don't want to talk about the bad. But today's message, I'm going to hopefully get you to see what God is trying to say about having a grateful heart. Today's message is called The Pursuit of a Grateful Heart, and we're going to be covering it from Colossians 3. And I love the fact that in the scriptures that were given to us by God Almighty, we are told that we should approach things in certain ways. Colossians 3, and I'm reading from the New King James Version, it says this, verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I love how it starts. It says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. So you could just like wipe out all your emotions right there when somebody says, how are you doing? And then just remember, Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Man, how sweet is that? That's a focus point right there. If you don't take anything else out of this message, just remember this. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Today, I want us to focus on the aspect of giving thanks and being grateful. So what does it mean to be grateful? What does it mean to give thanks? So I went to my very trusty dictionary, Google. And I typed in definition for grateful. And so, you know, first link is always the one that we click on. So Webster's Dictionary's definition, it says, grateful is an adjective that means being appreciative of benefits received and expressing thanks. And then I went to another book. I like to call it my user's manual. Some of you might call it the Bible, but that's my user's manual because it tells me how to really live life the right way, how to do life right. So in the scriptures, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. For who? You. For me. For us. For your family. Everyone. That leads me to my first point of the message, and it's a grateful heart knows when to give thanks. Man, oh man, do we go through some hardships in the world. Yeah, we go through some hard times. And it's not fun. I like that King David was a very smart author. And he knew how to speak with God in the right way. He was given the name a man after God's own heart, right? King David is a man after God's own heart. I believe that what he did in the Psalms that he wrote is more than enough to cover that title. And I want to go through some Psalms with you to show you how a grateful heart can change and transform a situation from nasty to beautiful, all because of an attitude adjustment. So first one is Psalm 100. It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. And on to verse 4, it says, enter to his gates with thanksgiving, all and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up from a horrible pit out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth. Praise be to our God. Many will see it and fear, and they will trust in the Lord. But Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Who forgives all of our iniquities? Who heals all diseases? Who redeems our life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? Just those four examples can give you an idea of how a child of God should be and how he should act. Life is hard. We can all say that. But praise be to God, we are able to overcome the hardship of life. And if you don't know where to turn, open a psalm and you watch. And you see, David is known to be a thankful person. Even when he was in his deepest troubles, he gave thanks to God. He was grateful for the work of God in his life. He was grateful for what the Lord will do. Many times he wrote about how, yeah, I'm in trouble now, but Lord, I know it's going to be so sweet when I get out of here because I know your plans for me. Romans 12:15 says we should rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. I bring that up because when I say that we should be grateful always and we should rejoice always, I'm not saying not to forget about things that happen. I'm not saying do not mourn. I'm not saying do not have emotions. No, I'm saying to emote in a healthy manner. Mourn healthily. There is a healthy way of mourning, and then there's a destructive way of mourning, right? Healthy mourning and destructive mourning. One is much better than the other, and I'm sure you know which one it is. When we do not handle bad situations in a good way, we self-destruct. And not only that, things around us seem to just crumble and fall apart because we're not focusing on God anymore. We're focusing so much on the world. We're focusing on the no's. We're focusing on the bad. We're focusing on the evil. And let me tell you, that makes the enemy very happy. That brings him joy. But when we handle the bad circumstances of life in a good way, man, there is victory that comes out of that. There is a blessing that comes to us when we handle things right, when we know how to deal with things, when we know how to emote correctly. It's important to be grateful. It's important to be thankful because it makes you a healthy human being. That leads me to my second point. A grateful heart brings health to those around it. So we talk about why it's always grateful. But then we need to talk about the important benefits of being grateful. I'm about to give you 6 examples of health benefits that come with being a thankful person, a grateful person. But I really want to encourage you to not just jot it down and then put it in your bulletin and put it in your Bible and it becomes like a pressed flower that you just keep in there. And that's it. No, I want this to be something that you kind of look at every now and then and say, yeah, this is what I've noticed and I need to improve on this or that. Because I believe these are things from the Lord. I believe everything that is being said today is from the Lord. And I'm so thankful to know that these things will benefit you, will benefit your life. So let's go through these points. First one, according to Robert Emmons' book, Gratitude Works, an attitude of thanksgiving allows you to experience higher levels of positive emotions, such as joy, enthusiasm, love, happiness, and optimism. A grateful person is able to protect themselves from destructive impulses such as envy, resentment, greed, and bitterness. You know that? A person that is able to find thanksgiving in things, that is able to be grateful for things, is able to avoid being self-destructive. Gratitude helps people cope better with everyday stress, and it makes them more resilient in the face of trauma-induced stress. Gratitude helps you recover more quickly from illnesses. Gratitude helps you enjoy more robust health. People that experience gratitude and practice thankfulness and keep a journal are 25% happier, they sleep half an hour more, and exercise 33% more each week. How about that? I know for a fact that there are so many people out there that are looking for books and looking for programs on how to obtain a healthier lifestyle. Well, we have this book right here. Let me tell you, it's available. It's never not available. And it tells you how to be thankful. And it tells you how to be grateful. It tells you how to be healthy. Tells you how to love and how to handle situations. So you become healthy. That's a great thing. But then you have to deal with the people that are going to show up on Thanksgiving night for that dinner, right? Aunt Sue and Uncle Stan, they're going to talk about all the negative in the world. Oh, man, oh, man. And I'm sure we have those people in our lives that when they ask, how's it going? And they, you know that they're eager to tell you about the bad things, say, oh, it's fine. I got to go check on the turkey, right? Then that's the only conversation we have that whole night with them. No, but that's not what we're called to do. We're called to spread that thankfulness. We're called to not only love on them, but to actually listen to them. But at the same time, to be able to say, you know, what about those things that you're thankful for? I heard about all the bad that's happening in your life. Now, let's have a happy note. What are you thankful for? I know I have some of those people in my life. And it's like, pause, stop, time out. Let's talk about something good. Because I know that if I keep listening to the negative, if I keep listening to the bad, I'm going to get upset. I'm not going to be a happy go-getter person anymore because there's all this nasty coming my way. But when we're able to control it and are able to say, you know what? No, let's talk about something that is good, especially during this season of Thanksgiving. What are you thankful for? Here's something that happened last night. I was getting ready for bed, and I noticed that the sheets needed to be changed. And so, of course, in my household, changing the sheets is a huge ordeal because we have a little puppy that knows that when it's time to change the sheets, that means he has to be on top of the bed. So not only am I like taking the sheets off and doing that, he's actually jumping. And so sometimes I like to wrap him inside the sheets and put him aside till he tries to figure it out. It doesn't work. He bit a hole in the sheet. But anyways, last night I was sitting there and I was just going over my message in my head. And I was like, Lord, teach me to be thankful for the tiniest things. And my wife will tell you this. I'm not really great at making the bed. I'm actually pretty horrible at it. And we have my biggest pet peeve about sheets is the fitted sheets, because you never know which way is the right way. You would think you have it right, and then you switch it, but it still doesn't look right. And so I never know if I have it right or not. Two weeks ago, I was like, babe, we're going to sleep on the sheets inside out, because that's how they were done. But that's how they're going to be. They look the same, so nobody will notice. I'm thankful. Yesterday, and so I was getting the fitted sheet ready, and I was fluffing it, and then as I was fluffing it, I saw this tiny note. And it said, bottom side. And I was like, hey, cool, bottom side, cool. And so I continued doing it, and then I paused. I was like, whoa, no, I just asked the Lord so that I can be thankful for the little things. Here it is, the little tiny tag that says bottom side. I knew how to make the bed by then. It's great. I told my wife not to count on me still for it, but you know, she still does. And I'm thankful to be, you know, serving her, whether the sheets are inside out or not. But it was this little tag, and it was such a sweet thing for the Lord to say, okay, and he did. That tag has been there the whole entire time since we bought those sheets. I've never noticed it. I probably have been doing that whole thing without even looking at the tag. But then the smallest things, the Lord can show us the smallest things to be thankful for. And that's the amazing thing about having a God that listens and a God that speaks. Number three, a grateful heart produces relationships and solidifies faith. Yesterday, that little example of a little tag, that solidified my faith. Believe it or not, not saying that I had an issue with my faith, but it strengthened it that much more. King David, before he was king, he used to hang out in King Saul's house. He had his best friend, Jonathan, but David was really good musician. He played really good music. So one day he was sitting there and he was playing the harp and beautiful music coming out. Then something goes on with Saul and he flips a lid, grabs a spear, chucks it at David. We've heard this story before, right? So David dodges it just in time, right? Because if he didn't dodge it, well, we wouldn't have a lot of the other stuff in the Bible. He dodges it and goes back, and what does he do? He continues playing. He continues playing the harp. Now, honestly, who would have done that? There you are, just sitting there peacefully playing for somebody, and that person flips out, throws a spear at you, tries to kill you, and you just go back to what you were doing. I know a lot of people that wouldn't do that. They would just storm out. They would even leave the harp there. Yeah, it's expensive. I don't care. I want my life. No. David knew exactly what he was doing. David was being a blessing to King Saul at that time. And he knew that him leaving King Saul's house and stopping what he was doing caused, or would have caused, blessings to leave. David, in his heart, was thankful for the position that he was in. He was thankful for that friendship that he had with Jonathan. And I'm sure some people would have just stopped that friendship because their best friend's dad is a psychopath that tried to kill him. But no, David was sitting there, and he continued blessing Saul, King Saul, with that music. He played that harp like he never did before. And we know that benefits come out of that. We know that later on, David becomes king. Saul is no longer the king. We know that a lot of things happen, but it all starts with a heart that is focused on God. Again, that's why David was given a title, a man after God's own heart. How can we have that heart? How can we experience that in our life going forward from this day on? My last point, point four, is I invite the worship team to come forward. A grateful heart is one after God's own. Story of Job, one of the wildest stories in the Bible, right? This man goes through horrible times, horrific times. But yet, he's still somebody that looked to the Lord. He's still somebody that knew what God had in store for him. And even though he lost what seemed like everything, that man did not lose everything. He had something. And that thing is what kept him there. That faith, that gratitude for knowing that God is faithful, that's what kept him there. Job chapter 11, verse 13 through 17, it says, "If you would prepare your heart and stretch out your hand towards him, if iniquity were in your hand and you put it far away, and would that wickedness dwell in your tents, then surely you could lift up your face without spot. Yes, you could be steadfast and not fear, because you would forget your misery and remember it as waters that have passed away, and your life would be brighter than noonday. Though you were dark, you would be like the morning." God is there. I'm not going to say God is able to be there, because God is there in your darkest hours. God is ever present in every situation in your life. And maybe sometimes it feels like we're kind of left alone. Oh, we can't do that. We can't do that. It really saddens my heart when people come after such a time of hardship and say, "You know, there's just nothing that I can be thankful for. I can't be thankful on anything this Thanksgiving." My heart breaks for those people. Because friends, here's the thing. If you say that you can't be grateful for anything, then you say that the message of the gospel does not relate to you. Because how can we as Christians say we're not grateful when we have the biggest reason to be grateful? When Jesus came down and died on the cross for us, and yet we can say, "Oh, there's nothing to be grateful about." That's a bummer. The gospel is in full effect always. We can't say, "I don't know." Least you could say is, "I'm thankful for God. I'm thankful for Jesus and what he did on the cross for me." It's a beautiful season that we're about to go into. Thanksgiving time, Christmas. Christmas time, New Year's. We get to see family, we get to see friends, we get to connect. We get to do things that are outside of the norm of the rest of the year. My challenge for you today is, how can you search your heart and find gratefulness in the smallest things? What's your tag that you need to find today? Sometimes we just need to look for that, because life might not seem like it's the best right now. But you watch, the Lord will show you. The Lord will reveal to you things that you may have never seen before. It might be funny and it might be sad, but the Lord will show you that there are things to be thankful for. And friends, as you go to your life groups this week, I challenge you to try to find more things to be thankful for, to give reason to be grateful for God, to say, yeah, I want to be a healthy Christian. I want to be a healthy human being, and that's why I am going to be a grateful person from this day forward. Why live in that miry clay? Why not allow the Lord to just pick you up and take you out of there and just dust you off and say, okay, let's do this again. Let's go around two. Except this time it's better. Worship team will be leading us in a song. Thank you, worship team. I will come back to wrap up the message. But as we sing this song, would you truly express your gratitude to God? Because we sing this song often, and I love what this song says. It has a true meaning. And this is what I believe is our duty to do towards the Lord. So worship team, thank you for leading us in this song.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, and oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing Your song again. Forever may pass and whatever lies before me. Let me be singing when the evening comes. And bless the Lord, oh my soul. And bless the Lord, oh my soul.
tonight we get a great opportunity to truly respond to what God is doing. From this morning in your life, at 6 o'clock this evening, we have a great time of worship called Response. And we named it Response for a reason, because we want to respond to God's goodness. So maybe this could be step one of many more to come for you, to show gratitude to God for what he's doing in your life. Maybe you should invite the Aunt Sue or Uncle Stan. Maybe invite them to come today so that you can change a heart to go from sad to grateful. I'm so thankful that you are here today. And I'm so thankful for those of you who watch on live stream. And I'm so thankful for the people that are going to be watching this later. I'm thankful that I had the opportunity to come and give a message about gratefulness and a healthy lifestyle of a Christian. I want to thank you for being here, and I thank you for taking this seriously. This is a matter of heart. And that's the awesome thing, is that we have the scriptures to support all that. So Lord, we thank you for this message. Lord, we thank you for the grateful heart that you give us. Lord, we thank you for showing us those little tags in life where we can just be redirected so that we can know exactly what to be thankful for. Lord, I pray that we would be able to do things wholeheartedly for you. That in this time where we might be hearing negative, Lord, would you be able to bless it and turn it, make it something beautiful. Lord, we pray for a thankful heart for us. Lord, with this, would you mend relationships? And would you heal things that are needing to be healed in our lives? Father, we give you all the glory. We thank you for your goodness and for your love that never ends for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, church. Awesome.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.